Okay. I have to tell you, I'm always amazed and humbled when folks come out to hear me speak. I would characterize my talks as the musings of an old man coming to terms with his own mortality. So I'm not sure why anyone wants to attend that. And to come out on a snowy, sloppy morning, thank you. I appreciate it. I am truly humbled by it. And I agree with Rick, it is a beautiful morning. We get the kind of snow here that's not debilitating. A friend of mine, Jackie Roberson, is from Buffalo, and I always think of him when we get this kind of snow and think of the kind of snow they're getting up there. I love snow, but I don't know that I want that kind of snow. So it feels just a little subversive to me that we have the Beatles on the cover of the church bulletin. I grew up in a time when rock and roll music was devil's music, and kids that listened to rock and roll were going to hell. So it just feels a little subversive and a little bit naughty to have the Beatles on the cover of the bulletin. But I'm loving it. I really am. The nice thing about getting older and having some longevity is perspective. It's a way to kind of celebrate those mystic cords of memory and discovering the threads that connect the major events of our life's journey. It feels a little bit like I'm writing the cliff notes to my own story. I'm looking for themes and finding the subplots that ran throughout my life. For example, if you're looking for a little bit of foreshadowing, then consider this. 60 years ago this month, here in January, I was in kindergarten, and my kindergarten teacher, Miss Clouser, I can't believe I remember her name. We were standing in line, I think getting ready to get down to lunch, and the young lady, the girl in front of me, Elaine Spangler, I can't believe I remember her name either, fainted. And I was standing right behind her, and she kind of fell back into my arms. And I got a lot of credit and a lot of praise for catching her. Now, it didn't hurt that she fell backwards, literally into my arms. And I don't know that I so much as caught her as I broke her fall. But in terms of foreshadowing, here I am as the executive director for women's services, and I'm catching women as they're falling or picking them up after they've fallen or been knocked down. It just feels connected somehow. There's also another landmark anniversary coming up in 19 days. Anybody know what that is? I think cover of the bulletin. It'll be February 9th. I think 8 o'clock in the evening on a Sunday evening, the Ed Sullivan Show. Yeah, the Beatles. Now, I was only 5 going on 6 at the time, but I remember this night as if it happened yesterday because I have an older sister who was 12, and she was going nuts. I mean, literally going nuts, crying, laughing, jumping up and down. She was hysterical. And I remember not only watching her and watching the television, but I'm watching my parents who are watching her and watching the television, trying to make sense of all of this. But that was 60 years ago next month. And that was a significant event in my life because it touched me in so many different ways. And I for the first time, understood or began to appreciate the power that music held and how a medium like music could impact people, their behavior, their moods, their attitudes. And from that point on, I remember paying closer attention to the music that I was hearing. And it didn't hurt that I had an older sister who was experiencing all of this much more quickly and rapidly than I was at 6. She was really at the right age of 12 to 18 during those 64 to 70 years. But her heroes then became my heroes. And so people like Jeff Beck, David Crosby, Robbie Robertson, Gordon Lightfoot, Randy Meisner, Tina Turner, Denny Lane, and Jimmy Buffett. Do you know what they all have in common right now? They all passed away in 23. And there are so many more. I just named a few. And they were all born between the years of 1938 and 1946, which is really quite fascinating because we were just coming out of the Great Depression and we were entering the World War II years. And out of that devastation and destruction, think of the creative artists that were born out of that time. It's really amazing. Go figure. About a decade ago, I was at a conference in Harrisburg, and I was talking to a colleague. He was a bit of a busker, and he and his daughter were playing some gigs here and there, and we were talking about music, and I mentioned to him that most of our rock and roll heroes were turning 70, and we would probably lose quite a few in the decade to come. And we did lose a few in the last 10 years, but not as many as I had thought. Think Keith Richards. Really? He's still alive? How is that man still alive? But now they're all turning 80, or have turned 80, and I'm afraid that that era that they ushered in really is coming to a close. And this specific group of artists really have been a big part of my life. They formed what I would call the soundtrack to my life. And together, we have created a community, at least in my mind. Now, I use the term community specifically and very deliberately here because a community is not just a group of people living in the same place like we all here in Meadville or having a particular characteristic in common like attending the UU church. It's also a feeling of fellowship with other people as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. For example, the sense of community that you all have here at the UU church. Now, social scientists will tell you that a community results from a web of complex and interdependent relationships that form over time among individuals who share common interests, values, and aspirations. But I don't know about that. What I do know is that having a sense of community, a sense of community belonging, is a feeling that members matter to each other and to the group. And so what happens to these musicians matters to me. Now, point of clarification. I do not worship these folks. I don't hold them up as examples of moral superiority. I don't necessarily want to emulate their lifestyles. I would like to hang out with a few, maybe have dinner, but maybe that's the extent of it. But their music, their lyrics, all of it moves me. It has the ability to stop time, and it allows me to travel through time. Sometimes when I hear a particular song, time stands still. The future is momentarily put on hold, and I am transported back to a time and a place and an event. Does that happen to you? Music triggers thoughts, memories. So when they pass, it's personal and it stings. Back in 1964, the Beatles touched my soul, and many others agree that rock and roll music is the kind of music that touches the soul. When you really listen and feel the music, that rock and roll often strikes a chord within that resonates with the heart and the mind and the spirit. Nothing touches the soul quite like rock music because it expresses at times what we cannot express ourselves. And I'm biased. That may apply to many different forms of music. But I'm a child of rock and roll, and so that's where I go. Music can also provide a major distraction, which helps us forget our trials and tribulations. And it takes us to another place. Perhaps it reminds you of a pleasant memory or gives you hope and courage to press on against your daily struggles. It not only carries an infectious groove, but rock and roll conveys profound emotion and meaning. Words and lyrics are combined with the instruments and melodies to create something special, something one of a kind. Rock music is beautiful and emotional and has the potential to speak to you if you are willing to listen. The lyrics of Drew Holcomb, a relatively new artist, is this. Music, it makes you feel good, makes you feel understood, like you're not alone, you're not a rolling stone, not the only one on the road. So when you think of rock and roll, when you think of music more generally, I also want you to think of community. And when you think of community, also think connection and a sense of belonging. In 2003, author Joseph Myers wrote a book entitled The Search to Belong, Rethinking Intimacy, Community, and Small Groups. He contends that the search to belong is all about four spaces in which we have a sense of belonging. And those four spaces are public, social, personal, and intimate. And Meyer says that in all four spaces, we connect, we are committed and participate, we find the connection significant. And that's exactly how I relate to music. Last year, we also lost artists from an earlier generation, my parents' generation, artists like Tony Bennett, Harry Belafonte, Topol. Topol, by the way, played Tevye in the Fiddler on the Roof movie, and Burt Bacharach. These artists were favorite of my parents, and I remember listening to them as a child growing up in our home. And of course, that music also takes me right back. For example, my father and his older brother fought in World War II, my father in the Pacific, and was mostly confined to a ship, and so he didn't see combat up close and personal, but my uncle fought in France. He did see combat up close. And when he came out of the war, he was struggling with what we now know as post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And he was in and out of the VA hospital in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And we were living in Harrisburg at the time. And so every so often, we would go to the hospital to visit with him. And then when he got better, we would bring him back to the house. And I remember going with my dad on those trips. And usually we stopped at one of the box stores on the way home because my dad would want to get a small gift, a trinket, I think ostensibly as a kind of hospitality gift to my mother coming from my uncle, although it was my father who picked it out. And usually what he bought was a record album. And at that time he was buying, my mom was into the Seekers and the Letterman. I think my father liked Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. But I remember him buying a Burt Bacharach album featuring Dionne Warwick, who sang a lot of his music. And so when he passed away last year, Burt Bacharach, I was reminded of my uncle. Now, Burt Bacharach had a lyricist, Hal David, and he wrote these words. A chair is still a chair even when there's no one sitting there. But a chair is not a house, and a house is not a home when there's no one there to hold you tight and no one there you can kiss goodnight. My uncle died way too early. He was really a casualty of World War II, even though he won't be listed as a casualty because he didn't die on the battlefield or immediately thereafter. He died 20 years after the war, 25 years, but a casualty nonetheless. But I am grateful to Burt Bacharach for connecting me to my uncle and for allowing me to remember my uncle in those moments. I cherish those connections. So what does it mean then to belong in these four spaces? Public belonging is like being a Steelers fan or a Bills fan. Like when you attend a rock concert. It occurs when people connect through an outside influence, and these kinds of relationships then can carry great significance in our lives. If you've ever been to a Grateful Dead concert and been a part of the Deadhead crowd, you know what I'm talking about. Social belonging is like like knowing the barista at your local coffee shop. Now, I get coffee all over the place in town, but only at French Creek can I go in and Tanya will say hello and say the usual. She knows exactly what I'm drinking and she gets it ready for me. I like that sense of belonging and connection. And that kind of social connection occurs when we share snapshots of ourselves, of what it would be like to be in that personal space with us. When I was a senior in high school, I ran with a group of friends, mixed group, boys and girls, and we would usually get together on a Friday or Saturday night, and we would hang out in someone's basement. At that time, we would think it was rather naughty of us to drink slow gin fizzes, eat pizza, listen to music. At that time, FM radio was huge, and we would always listen to that. But there was a girl I was crushing on very badly, and this was someone I grew up with, but she only ever saw me as a friend and a classmate. Still, you know, hope springs eternal, and I was always hoping that the evening would turn out just a little bit differently. But invariably, our gatherings were always the same. We'd break up at night, and then that song by the Eagles would come on the radio, always. And that song was Take It to the Limit. And if you know the lyrics to that song, it goes like this. All alone at the end of the evening, and the bright lights have faded to blue. I was thinking about a woman who might have loved me I never knew. I hear that song today. I'm 17 years of age. I'm coming home from one of these gatherings, and I can think of that young lady. The Eagles have entered into that social space with me, and we have that connection. The third space, personal belonging, is like a good friendship that just picks up where you left off, no matter how much time you may have spent apart. like a close friend with whom you share more than yourselves, more about yourselves than you would with just an acquaintance. Right before the Philadelphia Eagles played last week, I texted my friend, my high school friend, because he's a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. Now, I hadn't spoken to him for over a year, but we picked up like it was just yesterday, and we were texting back and forth throughout the entire game. The artist Drew Holcomb again says, "Sometimes I feel like a criminal, feel like a castaway. This world keeps changing and I can't keep the pace. It's like a race. I didn't know I was running. But there are some things like rudders in a storm, someone to keep you warm, a friend to raise a glass, to take off your mask and tell the truth and just be you." When I went off to college in upstate New York in 1976, that was about 10 hours from my home in Harrisburg, and I was terribly homesick for the first couple of weeks. And listening to music in my dorm was a way of, you know, coping and finding some strength and comfort. And at that time, I was listening to music like Boston and Aerosmith. I was still listening to the Beatles and the Stones. But it was David Crosby and that whole Laurel Canyon crowd that really came to my rescue. It allowed me to be introduced to a new group of friends that brought me connection. Now, in my dorm at that time, there were three groups of students. There was the students that stayed in the room, the not-so-social types. They kept their heads down, studied hard. That was not me. Then there was this group that were drinkers. Now, in New York, back in 1976, the drinking age was 18. So, boy, they would go in town, get drunk, and come back and raise hell in the dorm. That was not me. But then there was this other group. And they kind of went off to themselves and were in their room. And I would hear Crosby, Stills, and Nash music playing from their room. And I was curious, like, oh, what is this music? I love this music. What are they doing? And this was that long hair, flannel wearing, cynical type of person, group of people, you know, that would eat pizza, smoke weed, or rather smoke weed, eat pizza. And have these fascinating discussions about virtually everything, you know, religion, politics, the environment, the Equal Rights Amendment. And these were my people. I identified with this group. They were not afraid to be themselves. And you'll think of David Crosby when he sang, "Almost cut my hair. It happened just the other day. It's getting kind of long. It could have said it. I could have said it wasn't in my way, but I didn't, and I wonder why. I feel like just letting my freak flag fly." I could identify with that. And then lastly, this other group, intimate belonging, is like a marriage, or at the minimum, that those relationships we have with very, very close friends. The people that we share kind of our naked experiences and feelings and thoughts with. Those are the people who know the whole truth about us and accept us nonetheless. So what if I told you that the Righteous Brothers attended my wedding and were present on my honeymoon? You might think that a little odd, but my wife and I courted to the song Unchained Melody, and that song was played at my wedding. That song was played on our honeymoon. To this day, when we hear that song, we want to gather close and have a little dance. We play it every year at our anniversary. Back in the 80s, I was working in a group home for troubled youth. This was in inner city Milwaukee. And these kids were wild, and getting them to settle down every night was a challenge. So to assist their winding down, we played George Winston. Everybody know who George Winston was? Played that great hypnotic piano music. He died last year. Surprisingly, playing that music really worked. Now, I had the opportunity to see George play at the Forum in Harrisburg a few years after that, and he came out and he played the piano in his stocking feet, and he was wearing purple socks. Now, for some reason, knowing that feels like I have this intimate knowledge of George, like he had shared that intimate fact with just me. Of course, me and the thousands were also in attendance. Also in the 80s, I remember standing in the second row of a Tina Turner concert. She looked right at me, pointed, and said, "You better be good to me." That felt very personal. I vowed then and there, if I ever got to know her, I damn well would be good to her. Years later, when I learned about her relationship with Ike, her husband, who was very abusive, I came to understand those lyrics a little more fully. Part of that song she sings, "A prisoner of your love entangled in your web." Again, a little bit of foreshadowing, right? I'm actively involved in women's lives who could sing that very verse. So Myers asserts that a healthy strategy for those working to build community entails allowing people to grow significant relationships in all four spheres. And in each of these spaces, we must foster a sense of belonging by ensuring that everyone feels welcomed, known, included, supported, and connected. Now, I'm part of a lot of community groups here in town, and I was thinking as I was contemplating this that it would behoove us to explore each of these themes more fully. And I hope all of you experience these things here at the UU Church. And two, maybe you want to explore those themes. Let me say them again. In order to feel connected and part of a community, you must feel welcomed, known, included, supported, and connected. So let me close with this last story. It was 2005, and we were on our family vacation. We went to Florida to visit my folks who were living at that time in the Villages. From there, we spent a week touring the Keys. Lynn got to swim with the dolphins at the Dolphin Research Center. The kids got to swim in that beautiful aqua blue water. I got to stand at the southernmost point in the continental United States, which was a big deal to me at the time. We visited Ernest Hemingway's home and some of the bars that he frequented. I remember thinking, boy, if the kids weren't along, this could have been quite a trip. But we got to celebrate our son's 9th birthday at Margaritaville, which was a restaurant opened by Jimmy Buffett. And I believe this was the first such restaurant that he had opened. Now, that's interesting because on that trip, all we did was play Jimmy Buffett music. And I equate that trip with Jimmy Buffett. And yesterday when I was taking my daughter back to college, I was sharing this with her, and she too remembers that trip and remembers all the Jimmy Buffett music we were playing and still equates that trip with Jimmy Buffett. And she said something interesting to me. She said that whenever she shares a song with someone, it's like sharing a piece of herself. It's a moment of vulnerability because how others react to that sharing, that song, can either be validating or dismissive. And so she's opening herself up to being accepted, acknowledged, embraced, versus being dismissed, diminished, rejected. And so it's a very personal thing for her to share music with friends. I think Jimmy Buffett said it best, and I'll give him the last word this morning. He said, "And there's that one particular harbor, sheltered from the wind, where the children play on the shore each day, and all are safe within. Most mysterious calling harbor, so far but yet so near, I can see the day when my hair is full gray, and I finally disappear." Here's to you, Jimmy. Thank you.